We've been bringing a whole series that I prepared for you that Jesus is the way. And I've told you that there are a couple things that he already said that he's the way. Jesus said, obviously, he's the way to who? To God. He's the way to the Father. And then I brought you a second one and I said, Jesus is the way to the truth. And then I told you Jesus is the way to an abundant life. So far we know that he's the way to God. He's the way to the truth. He's a way to an abundant life. And today we pick up in another part of my series that Jesus is the way to true love. Amen. Jesus is the way to true love. And I picked this Sunday to bring this one clearly because there's something going to happen on February the 14th. What is that?
Men's Challenge.
Men's Challenge. See, the question really is not whether there's Men's Challenge or whether Eric's going to be there. That's...
He'll be challenged either way.
It'll be challenged either way. Oh, my. Well, life's full of choices, Eric. Life is full of choices. And some choices have very dire consequences, though. They sure do. Pick wisely, my friend. Pick wisely. And so February the 14th is Valentine's Day. And you all know that's a Hallmark day, right? Hallmark invented that. You all know that, right? That isn't something that there's somebody handed down. Hallmark did that to get some more cars out there and spread the joy, right? And the Rose profession is very happy when Hallmark did that. And Hallmark's obviously happy about doing that. And, you know, Cherry's Berries, whatever that thing is. You know, that's pretty cool, right? That's pretty cool. And, you know, hoodie teddies or whatever those things are called, hoodie footies, whatever they're called. They're all happy about that. And everybody's happy about that stuff, right? But none of that stuff buys romance. None of it. Karen? It's your anniversary on February 14th? Praise the Lord. Tell Clifford's Men's Challenge he wants to come. He can choose to.
All the guys say that is like... cool, because you'll never forget. And all the girls say, oh, that's so romantic.
Yeah. Well, so February 14th is a Valentine's Day. And I guess that's the day that you acknowledge that I guess you love somebody, I suppose. That's the day that you do it. I mean, you got a problem if you wait till that day. Clearly, you got a problem if you wait till that day, right? So February 14th is the day that I guess we celebrate what? I mean, no, really, truly. I mean, let's intellectualize. What do we really celebrate on February the 14th? What is that we celebrate? What is that? Well, I mean, really, truly, what's the significance of it for a Christian? It should be another day. It should just be another day, shouldn't it? I mean, really. If Sissy knows I love her because I sent her, you know, a dozen roses, and that's how she acknowledges that, I got a problem with that. I mean, I guess it's a nice day. I'm sure all of you will have a nice day. Eric will be with the guys, I'm sure. And but I want to ask you a question. On the day that people become married, on the day that you would think that they celebrate the biggest essence of their love for one another, on the day that they get married, what percentage of them plan on staying married, do you think? That certainly would be all of them, right? That'd be all of them. Why would they not? Where's my friend? Where does Jimmy go? Jimmy, how you doing? I haven't publicly said anything. Can I do that? Jimmy's engaged to be married. And I asked him, are you still engaged today? There was no buyer's remorse on her side. And he said yes, and he set a date. September. So he's getting hitched up. That's pretty cool, right? Now, on the day they stand before me and I say this to them, do you, Jimmy, above all of God's secrets, knows everything? Do you, Jimmy, who knows the secrets of your heart, do you take to be a lawfully wedded wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better and for worse, and forsaking all others, keep her only unto you. For as long as you both shall live, so help you God. And he will hopefully respond with, I do. And I turn to her and say, and do you take Jimmy to be your lawfully wedded husband, to have and to hold from this day forth, for better and for worse, for richer and for poor, and sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, keep them only unto you, for as long as you both shall live, so help you God. Do people mean that when they say that?
Yes.
No, they don't. Because 56% of them leave. Why is that? Why is that? What happens with that? You know, so many people that I counsel, and I'm counseling two couples now to become married, and that's a joyful thing, but I'm also counseling four couples that are ending. You know what some people say to me? I fell out of love. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Because 1 Corinthians 13 says, love never fails. Love never ends. Well, you know what? In order for love to never fail and for love to never end, you had to be in it in the first place. Because it could not have ended if it didn't begin. Isn't that true? Something cannot end, you know, unless it began. And if it truly began, then it would never. It's just the way it is. Oh, there was something there. There's zing, zing, zing goes my heartstrings. Clang, clang, clang goes the bell. Yeah, you don't know that song, huh? It's kind of like a young boy who might come to me and has come to me. 16-year-old boy says, Pastor Tom, I love Becky. Oh, you do? What do you like about Becky? Look at how fine she looks. I love Becky. Ooh. Oh, you feel special when you're around Becky? Oh, I feel special. I get tingling from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I said, oh, let me help you spell love. L-U-S-T. See, you don't love Becky. You what? Lust her. What is love? What is that? What is that strong emotion that we're supposed to have? Or is it an emotion? Or is it an action? Or is it a choice? I'm counseling two couples, one you met last Sunday, and you'll meet them again next Sunday. Then there's another couple becoming shortly after them. And one of my questions I always ask them is like a setup question. So why do you want to marry her? I love her! Wrong answer. Well, Pastor Tom, what do you mean that's the wrong answer? Wrong, most wrong answer you could give me ever. I love her. Well, I guess when you're done loving her, then you can what? See ya. Wrong answer. You know what the right answer is? I choose to love her. And I will choose to do that. How long? Every day of my life. That's the right answer. How many know love is really not a feeling? Love is a choice. DC Talk, Toby Mack said, love is a verb. It's not a noun. Love is a verb. Did you know that you do not feel love? You choose to love. And so today we talk about, well, where do we find that? And you can't find that in the Hallmark store. You can't find that on Sherry's Berries. You can't find that on Hoodie Footies, whatever those things are called. You can't find that there. You only find that in the Lord's love. Let's turn in our Bibles to the epitome of love, John 3:16. I'm going to have Karen read that, but many of you should be able to quote it just by, you know, having scripture memorization. You all should be able to quote John 3:16 by now. And if you're one of those highlighters in your Bibles, underliners, this should be the one that you highlight and you underline. This is the gospel message in one verse. John 3:16. This is the granddaddy of all granddaddies. This is the one they put a star by your name in Sunday school class when you could recite it. How many remember that one you had to recite it? That's like the granddaddy of granddaddies. John 3:16. Karen.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
For God so loved the world. You see, many of us would like to change that around a little bit. For God so loved the good people. For God so loved the decent people. For God so loved the people that I love. That would make a lot of sense. But for God so loved the world. Who's in the world? Everybody's in the world. Those you like and those you don't. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Well, today is a day after would be our son's birthday. And I'd give anything to have him back. So would you, Mary? I understand this. You know, that's not going to happen this side of heaven. But how many of you, if you have a need, you know of somebody, say a child, a friend, a relative, who needed a kidney, how many of you would be willing to give yours? Who'd give your kidney to somebody? See, never ask a question that you don't know the answer to, right? I knew that. That was easy. How many give your kid's kidney? How many of you, no, you have a friend, a neighbor, or a family member, and your kid's kidney fit? It was your kid, your child. Not yours, it's your child's. How many of you would give your child's kidney to somebody who needed it? Okay, one. Cool. Very cool. How many would give your child's kidney to somebody that hates you? How many would give your child's kidney to the kid that bullies them? One. Well, how many would give them their heart? Not the kidney. Your heart. How many of you would give your heart to one of your children or grandchildren if they needed it and yours fit? Don't ask a question you don't know the answer to. But how many give your heart to the kid who bullied your kid? See, that takes God to do that. See, that takes God's love to do that. Because the reality of it is, we have a hard time crossing the street and helping somebody that we hate. Don't we? Surely they're not going to get my heart. And they're sure not going to get my kids. Right? Wow. What kind of love does somebody feel like that? Turn in your Bibles, please. John 15:13.
Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends.
Wow. No one has greater love than this, than lay your life down for your friends. It was just on the news. I heard it on the way in here this morning when I was coming to meet Bobby. I talked about, maybe some of you have heard this, that a woman somewhere, and I don't remember where the somewhere was, but she threw herself in the path of an oncoming drunk driver. And she pushed her child out of the way and somebody else out of the way, and she herself got hit by the drunk driver, and she broke both her arms and her leg and all of her ribs. She's going to make it, but she sacrificially jumped in and pushed her son and the other guy out of the way, and she got smacked, hit with the car. And they just interviewed her. So you'll probably see it on the news. They just interviewed her, and she said, "I guess my mama bear came out." How many mamas know what I'm talking about? Mama bear came out. Mama bear came out, right? And she just said, "Hey, no way. You're not hurting my kid." And she jumped in the way of the car. We can understand that kind of love, can't we? I mean, that kind of love makes sense to me. But would you do that for someone that hates you? You see, it is easy to love some of the people some of the time. Isn't it? I mean, it is easy to love some folks. It's easy. How many know some folks are challenging? And how many know some folks are just darn right impossible? How many got some people in your life that you mean you say, "Oh Lord, help me"? How many know this? Well, God loves you, and I'm trying. I'm really trying. But you know what? In some other church, in some other part of town, there's a pastor asking the same question, and somebody's got their hand up, and they're thinking about you. They're thinking about you. You know those people we have a hard time loving? Guess what? In some other church, they say, "Yeah, man, tell me about it." And they're inserting your name. How many know, hey, what goes around comes around. The principles of reciprocity. What is what goes around comes around. Turn your Bibles, please, to Mark 12:30.
And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment.
All right, so the first person that we are to love is who? God. God. Love God. Love God. But love God with the total experience that a human being is capable of loving anybody. Love God with what? All our heart, all our mind, all our soul. Every ounce of us, every nuance of who we are. Love God with every fiber of your being. Do you love God that way? Do you really truly love God that way? And how is it possible to love God with all of my heart and all of my mind and all of my soul? How is that possible? Sissy and I have been married 43 years, and I love her more today than the day I met her. Why? Because I can, and because I know her more. How many of you that are still married, or were when you were married, how many of you could finish your spouse's sentence for them? How many just you just connected that God? How many ever had this phenomenon? I know it's kind of a strange phenomenon, but I know it happens to Sissy and I a lot. You know, I go to Walmart, whatever, and I come home with something. She goes, "How did you know I wanted that? I was hoping you'd bring it." Anybody did that experience too? You go, "Wow, that's that connection kind of thing. What is that? You know, what is that?" But you can't love God unless you spend time with Him. You can't. It's not possible. In order for you to love God with all of your heart and all of your mind and all of your soul, you need to spend what? Time with Him to understand what does He expect. You know, so many people that I counsel, these four couples I'll be counseling, one of the things they often say to me is, "Boy, if I only would have known then what I know now." Anybody think those kind of things? "Well, if I only would have known then what I know now." Well, you know, the question is, well, how come you didn't know then what you know now? So many people say to me, "Well, I didn't know what to expect." Well, why didn't you know what to expect? You know, I'm counseling these two couples now, and in their homework, they have homework for me, and their homework is they must write down their expectations. They cannot share them with one another. I know I need to know what you expect out of your marriage, and I need to know what you expect out of your spouse. And I need you to write that down and tell me. And then we're going to talk about it. Don't you want to know now what to expect before you get into something? Wouldn't you want to know now? What does God expect of us? Does anybody know what God expects? Does anybody really know what God expects of us? I get some people going, "No." Lou's going, "No. I know what He expects of me. I know full well what He expects of me. It's written in the book. He expects us to love one another. Doesn't He?" Turn your Bibles, please, to Matthew 10:37.
"He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me."
Wow, isn't that bold, huh? Clyde, what about that one? That we are to love God and Jesus above who? Everybody else, including the person in whom you love the most. Wow. That's pretty awesome. Isn't it? I mean, how much time do you want to spend with those you love? Like, Eric, you have a choice. Like Friday, you have a choice, right? I mean, you have a choice. Eric, I don't want to get weird, Eric, but you do love us guys, don't you? Well, sure you do. And clearly you love y'all. Well, yeah. Boy, what a choice, huh? And you want to hang around with the person that you love the most, don't you? I remember when Sissy and I got married, and Shauna, she might have been old enough to tell you this. I have a sister-in-law who would always make fun of me. She would make fun of me. Maybe still does a little bit, but she would make fun of me, and she would say, "Oh, throw some water on him." I'm serious. Throw some water on him. What's wrong with him? Throw some water on him. He's by her side all the time. Throw some water on him. And I'm glad nobody threw water on me. I'm glad they didn't. And even, you know, one of the things I talk to her all the time. I just can't get enough of her. I call her all the time. It's just what I do. I talk to her all the time. Even some of my friends say, don't call her today. It's like withdrawal. Ah, yeah. And so don't you want to spend time with God that way too? How many can't get enough of God? I can't get enough of God. I want to hang around them all the time. Who wants to hang around God all the time? I just do. Awesome. And God says, hey, if you love your wife more than me, we got a problem. If you love your children and your parents and your brothers and sisters more than me, we got a problem. Because I'm supposed to be above them. Does that mean you should not love those you love now? No, it's just that God should be higher than that. Higher than that. Turn in your Bibles, please, to John 13, verses 34 to 35.
A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.
You see, it's a tricky question. You get to ask people, right? You get to say, that, hey, what's the golden rule? And people will tell you what? Love others as you want them to love you. Or do unto others as you want them to do unto you, right? But you know, we Bible-thumping, card-carrying, blood-bought, sanctified, Bible-scroting, scripture-toting, we are raised to a higher standard. I'm not to love Yoshiko as I want Yoshiko to love me. I am to love Yoshiko as he loves me. Whoa, how many know that's a different standard? That's like a whole different level, isn't it? That's sacrificial. See, that's not Hallmark, that's sacrificial. That my interests, when loving Yoshiko as my sister, it should be sacrificial. It should not be my interest first. It should be what? Her interest first. It shouldn't be my brother Mike who I love. It shouldn't be all about moi. It should be all about him. It's like that Christian song that many people want to sing. It's all about me. Jesus. Or as Pastor Ed taught me last week, I think, Pastor Ed, you think he might have taught me this? I'm not sure. Maybe I taught myself. I'm getting old. It's like when we get up in the morning to go to work or do whatever we do and we tune our voices up, right? Me, 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 me. Let's all say that together. Me, 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 me. See, sacrificial love, the best way that I can explain it to you is a mother's love. You see, if there's four pork chops and there's four people in the family, a mom, a dad, and two kids, and the kid says, hey, can Billy stay over for dinner? Mom's going to say, well, of course. And the husband says, let me do the math. How many times have I told you to make sure you ask before Billy stays over? But Ma... And mom does the math too. She says, wait, there's enough. Because I really don't want one. Anyhow, help me understand that. That's the best explanation of a sacrificial love. Best explanation of a sacrificial love. Because the husband's going, hey, Billy ain't getting no pork chops. Bring out the peanut butter and the jelly. Because he ain't getting yours. I'm sticking up for you. What about, he ain't getting mine either. That's the way it works, right? When we love one another as Jesus Christ loves us, it's sacrificial. Remember when I said to you that no greater love has this than a man lay his life down, lay his life down? Hey, that doesn't just mean throw yourself in front of a bus. It also means laying down the urge to get even. See, laying your life down means you give up the right for revenge. It gives up the right to, oh, wait, do I get this phone off to give you a piece of my mind? It's laying that down, too. It's laying down the right. I would rather die 1,000 deaths. I love you that much before I will retaliate. How many love somebody that way? How many love somebody that way? You know, between husbands and wives, I'm going to tell a couple this afternoon. For husbands and wives that are married, you know, that marriage that you have is supposed to edify the Lord. That marriage that you have between a husband and a wife is supposed to be edifying and glorifying to the Lord. It's supposed to be a personal testimony. A personal testimony. And when husbands and wives are like this, you think that glorifies God? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. It's all about me. See, sacrificial love is all about who? Everybody else. Turn your Bibles, please. Romans 12:10.
Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another.
We here are to love one another. And we are to give preference to who? Everybody but you. You see, when I was a younger man, I'm sure some of you my age, when you were on a streetcar, how many remember streetcars? Remember streetcars? How many remember on the streetcar that if you were sitting there with your father or somebody of older than you, if you're sitting on a streetcar and a lady got on that streetcar, what better you do? You better get out. How many ever got the back of the head slap? Anybody ever get the... Mark, that's the way it works, right? I'll show you how it works, Mike. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm used to it.
You know that thing? Get up, boy. How many remember those days? Get up, boy. A lady wants to what? Sit down. They don't have head slaps anymore. It fascinates me when I'm on public transportation, which I don't oftentimes do, but I have had to do that, and it's a nice thing, and I see guys sitting down, women standing with the... What's with that? What is with that? That's just a polite thing to do. And you know why little boys don't do that anymore? Because their daddies don't do it anymore. And so we are to give preferential treatment to who? Everybody else! That we love them in a brotherly kindness kind of way. And we make it about everybody else. We don't make it about who? Us. When you make it about you, you're not demonstrating God's love. You're demonstrating self-righteous love. Help me understand that. That's the way it works. And we are to love one another in a brotherly kindness. It's an amazing thing. When we have us not here. But I've been in churches where we have supper lines, man, boom, beeline, boom. Really? You should be willing to be what? Last. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25.
Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her.
Love your wives as Jesus loved the church. That's not a Hallmark card kind of thing, is it, Karen? No. That's not, you know, buy a dozen roses off the guy, stand on 65 and a quarter McKees Rocks Bridge and 65. That's not what that is. That's not what that is. That's not, you know, get your spouse and go down to Seab's Pub, it's a commercial, and have a really nice dinner. If you haven't gone there, you ought to. It's not about that. How many husbands and wives go to dinner and fight all the way down there? Let's go have a good time. Who wants to go with you? Oh, yo, don't hit Eric. Alright. It's not about that. It's not about that. You see, You can badger or insist or turn up the heat and make your spouse go with you. Or you can rather have your spouse want to be with you, and nobody on the face of the earth would they rather be with than you. Which one are you? Are you the kind of husbands and wives that you must lead in all things, regardless of circumstances? Or are you the kind of spouse that people are willing to follow to the end of the earth? You get to decide. See, Jesus is polite. He doesn't beat you up, does he? He says, come and what? Follow me. Come and follow me. Look in your Bibles, please, to Ephesians, where you are now, chapter 5. This time we're going to read verses 28 to 29.
So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church.
And let's go to Titus, chapter 2, verse 4.
That they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children.
Remember when I said before, a little while ago, not about 5 minutes ago, I said that when I was a younger man, and my dad taught me, hey, when a young lady comes in the bus or a woman, you better get up. Remember when I told you that? Well, women teach younger women stuff too. See, they teach too. So I was taught, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. I was taught those things. I was taught to get up. And you know, my dad taught me, well, my brother and I, get up. But women are to teach younger women too. See, women are to teach younger women how to love their husbands. I was at lunch the other day, and I was sitting by myself, not because there was a bunch of women there, I sat by myself. And I was just, you know, reading the Bible and just, you know, having a little Sabbath time for myself. And I heard this group of women at the table talking about their husbands. My, oh my, oh my. The things that I heard. And I was getting like even blushed myself when I heard them talking about their husbands. And whew, wow, what a thing to teach the young girl that was there with them. I'm sure she's taking mental notes on how she should love her future husband based upon how they love theirs. My, oh my, oh my. How many know that goes on? Oh, women. Women are very communicative. How many men knew that? I know in many ways, women are very communicative. They love to talk. And that's not a name. It's just a thing. But when they're talking about their husbands, whew, what kind of thing are you teaching? I was hoping and praying that one of the women there who I knew, would stand up and say, hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. If we're going to talk about our husbands like this, let's just knock this off. Let's at least pray for our husbands. They're doing the best they can. But she didn't. So the question I ask is, the women of the church, are you teaching how to love your husbands? Could you write a book on that? I'm just kind of throwing it out. Well, let me make sure you understand. There's no woman in here that married a perfect man. I'm sure you did. Other than Pastor Colin being perfect. I'm far from perfect. Who here is far from perfect? No, Colin, no. Put your hand down. Other than Colin, how many men here have some imperfections? That's the way that it works, right? And so, guess what? If this is the guy God gave you, love him. Let's turn our Bibles, please, to Matthew 5:44.
But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you.
Let's end with that one. It is easy. It is easy for me to love my grandkids. I was holding yesterday at my house. We were having dinner at our house for my son's birthday. And I was holding Ivy. Is Ivy 3 months, Shauna? 3 months or 4 months? 4 months. And she spit up all over my vest. I just washed it. Do you think I care? Heavens, no. Heavens, no. But there's a lot of people that spit up on me. Oh, they do. I was talking to a fellow from the Sons of God. He was sending out an email about some stuff, and he sent it to me. And the email was talking about pastors in general, but he was very quick to send back a second one. He said, "Oh, I wasn't talking about you." Kind of know what I mean? He sent one that kind of talked about pastors and they need to be careful and da 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 da. And then they sent me back one, "Oh, by the way, I wasn't talking about you." And I sent him one back that I wouldn't care if you were. Used to it. I'm used to it. I remember that when our son Tommy's funeral, on the day that we were having a funeral for him, I had forgotten that I was supposed to go to a person's retirement party. I did forget. And I was supposed to go and give a blessing and a benediction, and this person who I was supposed to go did not know about our son, and he called the church and he talked to someone who answered the phone, and the person said, "Where was I?" And this person responded to that person and said, "Well, you didn't know. I know you didn't know. He's at the funeral for his son." And this person said, "He's the pastor. He needs to rise above that." Now, I don't make this stuff up. That's what he said. And then the following year, I need to minister to him. What do you do with that? What do you do with that? When someone says something so hurtful as that, and then you're called to minister to the person, what do you do about that? What do you do about that? You know, being a pastor, I'm making a general broad statement. I know you talk about me. Everybody talks about their pastors. That's the way it works. I've been around a long time. And they wouldn't talk about Pastor Colin because he's perfect, but they would talk about me. You know, you'll never live that down for quite a while. It's like a Hezekiah thing. I know you do. It's normal. People talk about their pastors, and sometimes it's not kind. Most of the time it is, but sometimes it's not. But we're called to minister to who? Everybody. All of you. And that's the hard part. That's the hard part. But see, we're not called to do the easy parts. We're called to do the impossible parts. Because Jesus said, "With me inside of you, you can do what? All things." And if I can do it, you can do it. You simply say it to yourself, you know, one thing about a church, it ain't never going to be a place for saints. Yeah, that's right. It's a hospital for sinners. That's right. The way it works. And so we are called to love even who? Our enemies. There was a woman, and she hated the guy who lived across the street from her. She hated him. And in fact, the sight of him made her nauseously sick and ill. And one day she was talking to her pastor, and she said, "I need help. Oh, pastor, I need help. Why? My next door neighbor, I hate him. Oh, I hate him. And I just hate how I feel about that." And so the pastor said, "Well, pray for him." "I don't want to pray for him. I hate him." And the pastor said, no, you pray. This is Sunday. You pray for him for 6 days, and you come see me on Sunday and let me know what happened." So the first day she got up, she's making breakfast for her kids. She looks outside on the window from the driveway, and there he is getting in his car. She gets sick and it's like, "I hate him. I wish he was dead. But I promised that pastor I'd pray for him." So this is what she said: "Lord, bless him, amen." There. The second day she got up and she looked outside the window and she saw him. And she goes, "Oh, I promised that pastor I'd pray for him. Lord, bless him and bring him safely back to his family. Amen." There. Two times. Third time. Looked outside the window, and there she saw him again, and she said, "Lord, bless him and get him home safe to his family. And Lord, just may the fruit of his hands today be blessed in all that he does. And Lord, just bless him and everybody he meets. And Lord, if he can run into a Christian, let him minister to him. Amen." Fourth day. "Lord, bless him. Watch over him. Keep him safe. And Lord, may the love of the Lord belong in me first. May I be the one that can minister to him. You know how firmly I don't like him, how much I disdain him, Lord. But Lord, just get him home safe to his family." Fifth day she prayed, "Lord, I don't like myself. I hate how I feel. Lord, change my heart. Change my heart towards him, Lord. It's not about him, it's about me. I don't know what he's ever done. I can't even remember it. But Lord, soften my heart towards him, and may I be the kind of witness that he needs. Sixth day. Forgive me, Lord, for the way I felt towards him. I've been so wrong. What a testimony I have not been for him and his wife and his kids. Lord, oh, please forgive me for the way I've been treating him and the way I've been thinking about him and the way I've been acting towards him. Lord, soften my heart. I beg of your forgiveness. The following Sunday, she went to church, and the pastor said, well, how's that working out for you? And she said, well, why don't you meet my new friend? And she brought him to church. You're going to love who? Everybody. Father God, thank you so much that you're showing us the way. You're showing us the way to true love, to true love. Lord, may we love one another more deeply and more broadly than we ever have before. Lord, may we be able to testify to that kind of love that only can be found in your embracing arms. Lord, thank you that you have loved us so much that you gave your son to die for us. In your awesome name, we do pray these things. And all of God's children said, amen.